my pleasure to be in front of each and every one of you this morning. Thank you for bearing the Arctic weather to be out here today. Oh my goodness, is it cold or what? I am not from Minnesota, so this, I don't know if I'll ever get used to this. But thank God for coats and hats and thermals and socks and two pair of socks and boots and everything else that we need to survive here. All right. Now let's get into the message. Let's get into prayer first, and then we'll dig into what God has to say to us today. Holy Spirit, would you come? Father, I thank you for this moment in time that we have. Thank you for bringing us together. I thank you for what you're about to deliver through your holy scriptures. I pray that you would be our inspiration, that you would be all of our guide today, that you would use these words to meet us where we are and transform our lives. Whatever is going the opposite way, we pray that you would make that change in our lives, that you would grow us from where we are right now, that we can be even closer to you when this service is over. Heal us where we're broken. Deliver us where we need it. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite your intellect to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 5. If you have your Bibles, would you open them up or turn them on to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Scriptures. I'll read verses 1 through 3 and then jump down to 9 through 15. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Verse 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." 2024, will be the year that we set the record straight. 2024, it will be the year that we pull no punches. 2024, right? I am here today to publicly announce my stance, the side that I stand on. I am here to announce to you today that five-time NBA champion Kobe Bryant is the second greatest NBA player who has ever lived. Kobe Bean Bryant is the most skilled basketball player we have ever seen. He is the hardest working basketball player we have ever seen and had the privilege of watching on the basketball court. He is only second to his heirness, Michael Jordan. Set the record straight. Michael Air Jordan, not Michael B. Jordan. And so today I'd like to announce to all of you LeBron bandwagon riders, to all of you LeBron James sympathizers, you can send your hate mail today to LEO at Mercy Vineyard. .org. In an article published last year entitled "The Mental Health Strategies That Made Kobe Bryant a Champion Both On and Off the Court," Dr. Caroline Leaf, a communications pathologist, writes this: Kobe learned that all his experiences, both good and bad, were energy that he could use to his advantage by shifting his thinking. He figured out that looking at things from a different perspective allowed him to process what happened in a way that could fuel his success in life. Then nothing could hold him back. When bad things happened to him, he could use them as stepping stones to his next victory. Our lives are filled with ups and downs. Our lives are filled with good and bad. Our lives are filled with light and darkness. Our lives are filled with celebrations and disappointments. We cannot escape the both and. That is the reality of humanity. Many of us attempt to avoid challenges. We attempt to duck and dodge the difficulties. We want to avoid pain at all costs. We want to distance ourselves from difficult conversations. But the truth of the matter is this, that our challenges are actually working to make us great. No matter how uncomfortable, they are shaping you and forming you and making you stronger than you were before. The Apostle James tells us that our trials come to work something positive in our lives. They come to build endurance and persistence and patience so that we can be better than before. So that we can be prepared for the next challenge that's coming our way. The God that we serve has the power to transform your challenges into championships. This reminds me of Vineyard's theology. Vineyard theology is what we call kingdom theology. And what kingdom theology states is that Jesus Christ, when he came to earth the first time, he brought his kingdom with him. And when he brought his kingdom with him, that kingdom, he is in his kingdom, he is actively making all things right. He is actively making all things new. But until he comes back the second time, we live in this place called the already and the not yet. We live in this place where we live in the messy middle of triumph and trouble. You will experience trouble in this life as you follow Jesus, as you journey with Jesus. You will have some trouble. Jesus even said so in John chapter 16, verse 33. In this life, you will have trouble. But I love how he ends the story, because in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 5, he says, but behold, I have come to make all things new. Yeah. You see, if someone tells you you're going to come to Jesus, you give your life to Jesus, and it becomes a bed of roses, they have forgotten to tell you about the thorns connected to those roses. That there's good and bad in this life. But I want you to know this, that behind the scenes, if you love Jesus, he is working your triumphs and your troubles all together for your good. For all things work together for the good of them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. You see, that doesn't mean that I'm happy about my hurts, but it does mean I praise God for bringing me through and making me stronger than I ever was before. Such is the study that we see in 2 Kings chapter number 5. Let me remind you of what verse number 1 has to say. Now Naaman, commander of the army, that means he had position. He was a great man in the sight of his master. That means he was powerful. He was highly regarded. That means he had privilege. He was a valiant soldier who had the command of the whole army at his call, at his beckon. That means he was protected. But he had leprosy. He had been pestered with a problem. You see, leprosy is a degenerative skin disorder. It could have been a number of disorders in this day, but it destroys the body from the inside out. It left open wounds on your skin. Therefore, this man, Naaman, his health was affected. It was a highly contagious disorder. Therefore, his relationships were affected. He was a public figure trying to keep it all together, hiding it under his uniform every day because it said he was still the commander of the army. Therefore, he had a mental health issues and his reputation was affected. Might I suggest that the text is telling that it puts these things in this order for our application, for a reason. You see, it doesn't matter how many trophies you have in your championships you have in your trophy case, it doesn't stop trouble from coming your way. It doesn't matter how many triumphs you have in your life. It will not stop the trouble from coming down your street. Have you ever had everything in your life going so well? May everything in your life going great? Except for one thing. One thing. That one thing can make you forget about everything that's going on. That one thing that's going wrong can make you forget all the good stuff. I mean, everything in your life could be good. But that one thing could throw your mind off and make you forget everything that's going right in your life. That one thing. Have you ever stumped your pinky toe in the middle of the night? Everything. I don't care who's asleep. Everybody gonna wake up and know that I stumped my pinky toe. Have you ever experienced one thing that was going wrong in your life? The one thing that was not going according to plan, the one thing that was making your life miserable, the one thing that kept you up at night, the one thing that kept you from operating as normal, the one thing that was creating a situation that you could not fix on your own. What is your leprosy? Naaman has to do something. Because this leprosy is affecting everything. No matter how much power and privilege and position and protection he has, this thing is eating him from the inside out. And so, by the recommendation of a slave girl, he takes a trip to Israel. More on that in a minute. He shows up at Elisha's front door. Loud and proud. Read the whole text. It shows you, it tells you that he came with multiple changes of clothes. He came with all the money in his pocket, gold and silver. He came with chariots and horses. He bought his whole entourage. I mean, he was showing off. He was up in there talking about, come on, everybody, look at me. He goes knocking on Elisha's door. Come and see me, Elisha. And I can imagine Elisha peeping through the blinds. Say, oh, no, I ain't dealing with that fool today. And Elisha go back to the back room. He sent the messenger. Hey, man, go tell this guy what to do because I'm not dealing with him. He's showing up acting a fool. Elisha didn't come to the door, and that infuriated Naaman. Naaman is furious because... does he know who I am? I'm Naaman. I'm captain of the army. I'm a mighty man of valor. I got it going on. I got money in my pocket. Don't he know who I am? You see, I got a whole army out here. I got an entourage. I got horses. And he's not even going to come and talk to me? Who do you think he is? Have you ever had someone approach you who needed help, but they act like they had it all together? I used to work for a guy, and I hope you're not watching the video. I used to work for this guy. We had this product we were trying to sell and get out to all of these companies, and I was working marketing, and I'm doing all my work, but then he needed an investment of money. So we had this phone call. We got this phone call with a former NFL player who was looking and loved the product and wanted to invest. And so we got this conference call. We're on the phone with all these people and this NFL player. And my boss gets on the phone, and he just goes and talks for probably a half hour. And he's just telling about how good everything is, how great the business is doing, how we're booming and we're blowing everybody out the water. Guess what? The NFL player hung up. We found out later that he said, listen, if you got it all together, then you don't need my investment. You don't need me. You got it all together already. He hung up, and his boys were on the phone like, I don't know what to do. But he didn't want to sit here and listen to that. Elisha is actually helping this man to learn a valuable life lesson. And that is this. We all need this. That humility is necessary if you ever want something from God. See, many of us are like Naaman. We don't like situations that we can't control. We don't like people that we can't control, that don't come under our command. We don't like it when a prophet gives us a process, because usually in those processes that are presented by a prophet, they reveal what's really going on inside of us. We don't like to take a look at or look in the mirror at the things that are really troubling us down on the inside, because what's happening is we're being revealed. During this discourse, we discover that Naaman has two diseases. Naaman needs to be healed from his leprosy, but he needs to be delivered from his arrogance. God is not interested only in your external healing. He is not only interested in your surface healing. He is not only interested in you looking good for somebody else to look at you and say, oh, you look good. God wants you to be whole. He wants you to be complete from the inside out. He wants you to be better than before in 2024. And many times that means dealing with the undisclosed issues in our lives. That means dealing with the stuff that we have hidden, the stuff that's in the dark, the stuff that's trapped in that closet down the hallway that we don't want nobody to go and open. Keep that thing closed. God wants to be invited and involved in every aspect of your life. He wants to make you complete. He wants to make you whole. Let's look at three things. Three things that Naaman complained about. And these are also three things that, oh, there it is. I'm about to say, where is it on the screen? Three things that Naaman complained about, but these are also three things that will block your blessing. You ready? Here we go. Number one, Naaman complained about the place. Look at verse number 10. He says, Elisha sent a messenger to him. Go wash yourself seven times. Where? In the Jordan. The Jordan. The Jordan is a river that is 153 miles long. It is a muddy body of water. It looks filthy. It looks a mess. And Naaman saw that and said, nope, ain't going to be me. I ain't getting in there. Really? I've got these open wounds on my body. I might get infected. I'm already in a bad position. You're trying to kill me. I came here for help. You want me to get in that body of water? The Jordan, of all places? Man, I'm trying to go down the street here where that other church is. I mean, where that other, the clean water is. They got it all together over there. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say all. What Naaman didn't know is that the Jordan was the place where God likes to show off. If you look at the history of the Jordan River was where God miraculously dried up the waters to allow Joshua and the Israelites to cross across into the promised land. The Jordan River was the place where Elijah took off his coat and hit the water, and the waters separated like the Red Sea did for Moses. It was at the Jordan that the prophet Elisha was with some guys who were cutting down trees, and one of them lost an axe head in the water. And then Elisha miraculously allowed that axe head to float on the surface so that the men could continue to work. It would be later on in the story that at the Jordan River would be the place where Jesus Christ would be baptized. And it would be at the Jordan River where the Holy Spirit would descend from heaven like a dove and physically manifest himself right there with Jesus in the water. The Jordan's got some history, folks. Don't let your lack of understanding about a place lead you to reject your own miracle. Don't let your fear of coming to the front at the end of a service when we call you up and say, hey, come and get prayer. Don't let your fear prevent you from getting the miracle that God is working on the inside of you. He says, Naaman, take a step, man. Take a step in faith. Yeah, it might not look all that inviting. Yeah, it might look a little scary. Yeah, it might look a little like, oh, man, I don't know if these people are going to be looking at me and making fun of me or whatever. But God said, I got something for you on the other side of that. Yeah. Don't reject your place. But also Naaman complained about presentation. Presentation. Look at verse number 11. He says, but Naaman went away angry and said, we get in trouble with those first two words. I thought, got me in trouble a whole lot of times. I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, not my God. Wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Hocus pocus. Woo. You see, I can hear Naaman now. I came and showed up with all of these people. I got a crowd. We're looking for the show. Is that it? You just going to send a messenger to tell me go jump in this water? I came looking for the light show, man. I came looking for the magic act. I came to see you do all of this, you know, whatever. This stuff that they do in the Marvel movies, you know, Doctor Strange. I came to see you jump from universe to universe, man. What's going on here? You see, we love the light show. We love the smoke and mirrors. We love to be attracted to the hype. But my God operates often in what we call in the vineyard the naturally supernatural. That God does not need hype and screaming and things that go beyond our expectation to make a miracle happen. Yes, I have been in church services where I've seen a whole section of chairs have to be reset at the end of the service because the Holy Spirit was moving and people just falling all out and doing all of that stuff. But more often, I've seen people delivered from the demonic. I've seen people healed in their body. I've seen people spiritually transformed. I've experienced my own healing, watch this, without fanfare. Our God is not only the God of home runs, but a God of singles. Our God is a God of touchdowns and five-yard gains. Our God is a God of the half-court shot at the buzzer and the free throw for 1 point. You see, our God can meet you on your mountaintop and he can meet you in the mundane. Don't limit God to what he can do in your life because of the presentation that doesn't fit your standards. Third thing that Naaman complained about was preference. Preference. Look at verse number 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers in Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? Naaman's preference almost blocked him from his blessing. Be careful not to miss your blessing because it doesn't come in the package that you were looking for. I believe that the number one blessing blocker in our culture today is preference. Our preferences. But I want it this way. God said, okay, I'll wait some more. You see, we live in a culture of consumer Christianity. This culture of consumer Christianity that believes that everything has to happen my way, on my watch, how I dictated, or I will take my ball and go home. And God does not operate like that. God is the king, not you. God determines the mode of operation. God determines what's going to happen. And we come under his authority. For his glory, not ours. The lesson we learn, as I stated before, the lesson of the text is that humility and obedience are necessary to receive all that God has for you. But I'm not going to leave it there. Because watch this. Even reluctant obedience. Naaman didn't do any of this kind of stuff because he wanted to. Naaman obeyed because he didn't want to. He was convinced. He had to be convinced to get his blessing. He had to be convinced to obey. Remember, Naaman reluctantly took the advice of a servant. Naaman reluctantly took a plunge into the Jordan River. Can you imagine the scenario, the issue? Watch this. Naaman walks down to the Jordan. One dip, two dips, three dips, four. Do I have to do this some more? Naaman's looking, he's like, nothing's changing. I keep going down in this water. This water is muddy and nasty. Man, do they know who I am? I'm Naaman. I'm the captain of the army. I'm mighty man of valor. I got money in my pocket. Man, these people out here, they telling me getting this dirty water. Don't you know I'm embarrassed? I keep going in this water. I keep expecting something to change. Nothing is changing. I'm going home. Five dips, six dips. I've been doing this for too long, man. I keep doing the same thing over and over. I think it was Albert Einstein that said, if you keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, that's the definition of insanity. I've been doing this six times. Man, I'm going home. I don't have any more time for this nonsense from this prophet, and I can hear his servant in the background. Naaman, you're almost there. You got six times in, just go down one more time. Remember what the prophet said. Be obedient to the word of God. Naaman reluctantly says, fine, I'll go down one more time to get this over with, but I can't wait to get home and get in my own bed. And he goes down and comes back up the seventh time. And verse 14 says, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. He was completely healed because of his obedience, even his reluctant obedience. He can't believe it. His skin is restored. He's been restored to, watch this, childhood or babyhood. And watch this. This is an Old Testament foreshadowing of the practice of baptism. And it's an Old Testament foreshadowing of being born again. God wants you to be baptized in the Spirit, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that you might be born again with new life and healing and be made whole in Him. Verse 14 tells us that Naaman was healed. Naaman was delivered, but verse 15 tells us this, the key to the story. It says, then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except the God in Israel. See, his soul now got saved. He got saved, he got changed, he got healed from the inside out. He got completely renewed. That's what our God can do for you. Can you imagine waking up tomorrow without that issue, that pain, or that problem? Can you imagine at the end of this service, you come up to the front and get prayer from our prayer teams, and they invite the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit into your situation, and as you walk away feeling, oh man, I'm healed. I am delivered. I am set free. I am transformed. I am renewed. I am made whole. God visited me and transformed my life. Can you imagine? Listen, I believe God has something greater for your life. I believe that He has something more spectacular for you and in your life, greater than what you can imagine, but it will come with challenges and trials and troubles along the way to make you stronger. Before we end today, I'm going to close with this. Something that jumped out at me, I think it was Wednesday, that I wanted to include because it jumped out at me. Something I never had seen before as many times as I've read this story. You see, if we're not careful in our exegesis, we will give the credit for this miracle to Elisha, the prophet. The Elisha, the prophet, hears from God, gives a message to go and get bathed, and he go in water, and the guy gets healed. But there's somebody else in the story. You see, verse number 2 says that there was a teenage girl, a captive. They captured a young girl from Israel. Verse number 3 says that if my master would only go see the prophet in Samaria, he would be cured. He would be made whole. You see, if it hadn't been for this young teenage girl, if it had not been for the word of God that was birthed through this teenage girl, Naaman would never have even thought about going to Israel to get healed. So the credit goes now to this teenage girl who carried and delivered the word of God to Naaman, and Naaman went and was healed spiritually and physically. I don't know if you know where I'm going, but 2,000 years ago, in a city called Bethlehem, there was a teenage girl who gave birth to who we call the Word of God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And He, the Bible says, became our healing. He became our salvation. He became our restoration. He became the one who makes us whole. He became our Redeemer. He became our restoration. He is everything that you need to experience in 2024 to make your life complete. His name is Jesus Christ. And listen, if you've never had an encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you today to choose Him as your Lord and Savior. The scripture says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, guaranteed, in that moment. And that's all you have to do is believe in Christ alone for your salvation. I'd like for you to take a next step with me. See, on your Connect card, you can write yes if you're going to take this next step with me. And that is, as you pray this week, right? I want you to pray. Pray every day. But as you pray, remember two things. One, praise God for one thing that's going right in your life. Remember something good that's happening right now. And God, I thank you for that good thing that's happening in my life. But then two, invite Him into whatever's challenging you. God, this is the area I've been keeping quiet. This is the area I've been locking behind closed doors. This is the area that has been giving me trouble, and I just can't seem to shake it. Will you come in and transform me in this area? Let us see the goodness of God manifest in our lives. Let us stand victorious with what God is doing to transform us right now. Will you stand with me? I believe that God is a God of completion. He is a God of healing. He is a God of renewal. He is a God that can do exceedingly and abundantly above whatever we can ask or think. But He does require humility. He does require obedience. He wants us to follow Him, not to tell Him to follow us. And I believe that God has a breakthrough in somebody's life today, that He's working on the inside of you, and throughout this message, the Spirit has been nudging you in some kind of way. As the worship team sings, I want to invite the prayer teams to come on up right now. And listen, Holy Spirit has been speaking to you in this message, nudging you in a certain way. Maybe you need physical healing. There's something wrong with your body or in your body, and you got a bad diagnosis, and you need God to come in and transform your situation right now. I want you to come and let the prayer team invite the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit into your situation. But I also believe that there is somebody here today that you need to be healed from people's opinions of you. That you've allowed people's opinions to drag you down, to dictate the direction of your life, and God is guiding you in another direction. He doesn't want you to be oppressed by other people's opinions of you. He wants to set you free today. Will you be free today? Will you let go of whatever fear is holding and captivating you in your seat right now? Will you come up and get prayer? There's also someone here who's experienced injustice throughout your life. That things have not gone in your favor. Things have not gone right. And maybe it's the systems that have been against you. Maybe it's people who have been against you. You need to be set free today. That God is a God of justice. I don't care what anybody has to say. God is a God of justice, of freedom for all people. And He loves you. He doesn't want you to leave here still bound by whatever is binding you. So if any of those words are for you, or if God is moving on your heart in another way, come on up here and get prayer while we worship.